Now turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Now I'll give you a tip. If you open your Bibles right in the middle, you'll find Psalms. Go to the end of Psalms and you'll come to Proverbs. Then it's Ecclesiastes, then it's Song of Solomon. It's only a few pages in the whole of your Bible, but that'll help you get there a little bit faster, perhaps. So just after the middle of your Bible, we come to the book called Song of Solomon. And I'm just going to read a few verses, because this is the passage that Sheila asked that I preach from this morning. Song of Solomon, and we're going to chapter 2, and we're going to verse 1 of chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, arise, fair one, and come away. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. It may surprise you to know that the whole of the Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you who have any familiarity with the Scriptures, some of you may say, well, we know that Jesus is mentioned in the Bible. We know that his words are recorded in the Bible. We know that the works of his life, the miracles that he performed, are found there. And we know that the story of Christ, the story of his life, is all mentioned. But that's in the New Testament. That's in the Gospels. He isn't in all the Scripture. Oh, but he is. He is. And just because we do not see him mentioned by name does not mean that the Bible writers were not speaking about him when they wrote. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, all the prophets speak of me. And so from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation, the extent of the two testaments, the whole of Scripture, speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are so short-sighted as not to be able to discern and understand where he is in the whole of Scripture, then that is our fault. But the testimony of the Son of God is clear. He is in the whole of Scripture. And let me give you an example. The Song of Solomon is a wonderful, intimate story of a king and a lowly, common, but beautiful girl. It's a love story. And they talk together in this story. It's like a piece of prose or poetry. It is exalted language. It is artful language. They talk together of love. They speak of the deep stirrings of their hearts, one for the other. And like all young lovers, they have eyes only for each other. In some respects, as we read the Song of Solomon, we ought to read it respectfully. We ought to read it like opening someone's diary, someone else's diary, and finding there the intimate things that they have written concerning the deepest feelings of their hearts. We should come to this book with a reverence. They describe their passions for each other. They describe the feelings that rise up in their souls one for another. They look at each other, and from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, they admire each other. There is a beauty about this passage. But we would be wrong to limit this love song to Solomon and the Shulamite girl whom he loves and who loves him in return. This Shulamite, the word probably means a daughter of Jerusalem. This Shulamite girl is a picture in that relationship between Solomon and the girl of Christ and his love for the church. It's an analogy, if you like, a metaphor. It is a picture. And just like an artist might paint a picture and yet secrete in that picture a whole range of hidden meaning, so Solomon, in writing this love poem, has been speaking of something deeper and more profound. Yes, he had love for this girl, but he speaks of the love of Christ for his church. And the church replies to him and speaks of her love for him. My friends, this morning, Sheila Kemmer understood this concerning Song of Solomon and Christ in all the Scriptures. So when she gave me the verses she wished me to speak upon this morning, I knew exactly what she meant for me to do and to say. She was looking for me to find the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses that she gave to me. On Friday afternoon, we buried our sister. And I spoke a little of her love for her Saviour. I said she loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have heard that re-echoed this morning in some of the things that have already been said and read to us. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to say too much more about that today. Repetition is not necessary. But I do wish to stress the importance of tracing all spiritual grace, all spiritual blessing that God's people possess to its proper source and its proper origin. What do I mean by that? Sheila did not love the Lord Jesus Christ in a vacuum. That love which she had for him had an origin, and it had a source. And that origin and source was outside of herself. It didn't arise in her own heart or arise in her own soul. Let me give you an example of that. Last week, just before Sheila died, someone sent a large picture to her. A large picture of her and her daughters, and it arrived in a big cardboard box at the hospice. And everybody thought, what is that? Who's that from? Well, we soon found out what it was as the box was opened and the picture was revealed. But there was no name accompanying the gift. We did not know who sent it. Now, it was Sheila's picture. It belonged to her, and I'm sure some of you have seen it over the past few days. It was Sheila's picture, but she did not send herself the gift. And we all wanted to know where this fine and where this thoughtful gift had come from. Who was it that had given it? And that was the question. It intrigued us. It just arrived. Where did it come from? The Lord's people feel a lot like that when they discover gifts arriving unexpectedly. They say, that was never there before. Where did that come from? That love that I have for the Lord Jesus didn't used to be there. That desire to be in the company of his people didn't used to be there. That burden that I feel to be under the sound of the gospel, to be able to feed my soul on the very gospel of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a new thing to me. I didn't used to feel like that. In fact, I would have run a mile from going to church on a Sunday morning. I would have had nothing to do with that group of crazy people. And now, all I want to do is spend my time in their company and share together the wonderful things of my Saviour Jesus Christ. Where did that come from? The Lord's people desire to trace the source and the origin of all of these spiritual gifts to its rightful place. How is it that while I did not used to love the Lord Jesus, now I love him? Now, what is that to do with Solomon and his Shulamite bride? Well, quite a lot, actually. Because that is a metaphor, it's a picture, as we've said, of God's love to us. And understanding these verses will give us a picture of Christ and his church. And understanding these verses will show us the source of Sheila's love for her Lord. In the first verse of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, we read that the king identifies himself. Solomon, the writer, identifies himself. But he doesn't use his name. He speaks of himself in this elevated language. And then he speaks to his bride. He speaks to the Shulamite. He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. That's Solomon identifying himself. These are the words, the descriptions that he uses to speak of himself. Remember, this wasn't for you. This was for her. This was intimate. He says, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. Solomon was a great king. He was a wise and powerful man. And these pictures that he uses of flowers, they speak of beauty and grandeur. They speak of fragrance and purity. They speak of holiness. And these are qualities personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon could say, I am the rose of Sharon, I am the lily of the valley. But the holiness and the purities that these pictures speak to are only truly and most fully found in one person alone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we detect Christ in these words. So we see that he is the one that ultimately is being spoken of in this language. Then the great king speaks of his bride, and he speaks of her qualities and of his love for her. And he says, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And that's the verse that Sheila gave to me. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. So take note of it, you girls, you women out there. That's what your mother asked to be preached upon. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And that phrase says three things about that Shulamite girl. It says three things about the Church of Jesus Christ. And it says three things about Sheila Kemmer that I want you to know and notice. The first thing is this. She is loved by him. Secondly, she is like him. And thirdly, she is distinguished from all others. Now let me take these three points one at a time, and I'm not going to weary you, I trust, this morning, but I do want to make a few what I believe are pertinent points with respect to an application here from this verse. Solomon declares his love for the Shulamite, and he calls her my love. My love. It's personal. And we see some of the intimacy of his speaking. He speaks of my love. And as we've said, the picture is of Christ's love for the church. I have loved thee, saith the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke often. And whether it's derived from the Old Testament scriptures, where again multiple times God speaks of his love for his people as an everlasting love, an eternal love, or from the New Testament as the words drop from the very lips of Christ himself. He says to his people, he says to his church, I have loved you. And this opens to us the source and the origin of all true spiritual love. If you ever discover the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you ever discover that you have a passion for the things of the gospel, if you ever discover that you have a delight in coming into the company of the saints of God and spending time with them, that came from Christ. That came from God. That came from the one who says of you, my love, my love. How did that happen? Was it always so? No. Something changed in us. We were given a gift. We were given a blessing. Grace was extended, not something that we earned. That would be wages. That would be our just deserts. No, this is grace. This came to the church. This comes from Christ. This comes to individual believers as the Lord, out of his magnanimity, out of his sheer goodness and kindness, out of what we call mercy, graciously bestows his gifts, something changes in a soul. We call that conversion. You've probably heard that word as well, and oh, how this old world and this old devil has taken the language of Zion and twisted it and bent it and corrupted it so that people use this language, and invariably it means quite the opposite from what the scriptures really mean by it. Most people think that conversion is turning over a new leaf and starting to live a good life. Well, it's a spiritual change that is enacted secretly and silently, that is like a gift come unannounced. It is received within us and we don't know where it came from, and yet it has changed us. It has altered something in our hearts and in our feelings and in our souls. It's a spiritual change prompted by the discovery of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Did I say that Sheila loved the Lord Jesus Christ? Then it was because the Lord loved her first. Because, like Solomon and the Shulamite, he smiled upon this woman. He saw her as a lily among the thorns, and he said to her, "My love, I have loved you." In 1 John chapter 4:19, we read these words, "We love him because he first loved us." Second thing I want to draw your attention to is this. Solomon called himself the lily of the valley. That was what we read in the opening verse. "I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys." And now he calls the Shulamite a lily also. Now he's speaking to his love and he calls her a lily too. And that too is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. If we had looked back into the opening chapter of Song of Solomon, we would have read there in verse 5 that the Shulamite does not describe herself as a lily. A lily is a beautiful flower. It speaks of purity. It's white and it speaks of purity. She calls herself black in chapter 1, verse 5. But Solomon sees her as lily white. Now let's move away from the picture. Let me say it this way. She perceived herself in one way, but he saw her as something else. He saw her like himself. He called her the same name that he took to himself. And that's another gift of grace. It's a gospel blessing. What shall we say? Shall we not trace this purity of Christ to him also? He makes us pure. He regards us as being pure. Pure as Christ. He is the lily of the valley, and you are my lily. And perhaps the greatest revelation, the greatest message of the gospel, is the believer's union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply, as we've been thinking over recent days in the flow of the annual calendar, that God took flesh and spirit and became a man. That was so important. But it was a mechanism, it was a means of accomplishing a greater union. that existed in the will and the purpose. We call it the eternal will or the eternal purpose, the covenant of God's peace towards sinners. That he joined himself to us. That he took us to himself. And he made us one with him. Made us a part of himself so that we cannot be distinguished from him. Just like those lilies blowing in the field, and one becomes like the other, and you cannot tell them separately apart. He is the head. We are the body. We are united to him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the Apostle Paul speaks of this, and he speaks of the love of God, and he uses a word which is foreknowledge. That foreknowledge is God's love for his people from before time. Whom he did foreknow, whom he loved before time, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You get that? That people, that church, those of whom we see Solomon alluding to in this poetic language, these people are being predestinated, are predestinated to be conformed to Christ, to be made Christ-like. She was my lily, just like me, made like Christ. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Because of Christ's love for his people, he declares us to be holy. He declares us to be perfect. Us to be fragrant, beautiful as he is. And he calls us and he makes us so. Solomon loved this Shulamite girl. And Christ loves his people. There is a lovely parallel here in these words. Solomon calls this girl after his likeness. And so the Lord Jesus Christ makes his people like him. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And the final point that I want to make from this verse is this, that Solomon distinguishes the Shulamite from all around her. "Among the daughters," he says, "she is my love. Among the thorns, she is my lily." Solomon's love was not given to all the daughters of Jerusalem. What girl would want to know that she had the love of a man and that he loved her just like he loved all the girls in town? Just like he loved every woman. That's not love. That's not particular. That's not distinguishing. That's not personal and intimate. That's a parody. That's a joke. That's an insult. No, the love that Christ has for his people is a love which is distinctive and personal and intimate. And here Solomon distinguishes his Shulamite from all the daughters of Jerusalem. She is the lily among the thorns. And he placed that love upon his bride, and it rested on her. And so amongst the fallen children of Adam, God has betrothed a people to himself. And Christ has redeemed that bride of God's choice. And the Holy Spirit opens their hearts, converts them through the preaching of the gospel, and implants love in their souls, that they should love and seek after him. So here then is the meaning of our text. Here is the reality behind the picture. Here is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to us, his gospel in all the scriptures. And that's what Sheila Kemmer would have you know and understand today. That it's Christ's work to her. It's his grace to her. All that she has today, and it is a lot, all that she has is by the grace of her Lord Jesus Christ. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Sheila was beloved of the Lord, and Sheila was distinguished amongst the daughters of this world. And because he first loved her, she in turn loved her Saviour. She saw his love, and she saw what he had done for her, and her heart went out to him in response. Sheila, in her life, was like her father Abraham, but she was made like unto Christ. She was made a lily among the thorns of this world. She was made pure and fragrant and holy in this world. And she worshipped her Saviour in spirit and in truth. And though she carried around with her the body of this death, as Paul calls it, the old man with all of its weaknesses, faults and failures of her old fleshy nature, she did so only until it pleased the Lord to come and take her to glory. At a time appointed, at 12:33 p.m. on Thursday the 27th of December 2018. We read verse 10 earlier from this second chapter. Here's what it says. Listen to these words. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, my lily amongst the thorns, and come away. I'm going to take you out of this world, out of this body of death, out of this hospital bed, out of all the pain and out of all the suffering and away from all the sin. Come. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Because he loved her, Almighty God gave gracious promises of life and holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ to Sheila Kemmer. And she believed him. She believed those promises. She did. She spoke of them often. In those last months, weeks, days, she spoke of them frequently. It was all her joy. It was all her hope. She believed him. And it was no delusion. It's no wishful thinking. It's no false comfort that we give to people at the end of their lives. This is such an easy job I have today. Such an easy job to preach this sermon that Sheila gave me. Not because she gave me the verses, but because I can speak with an earnestness, with a knowledge, with a conviction that that lady who was my friend, that lady that I buried, is in the presence of her Saviour and is far happier than she ever was in this world. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Today, Sheila is alive and well in her heavenly home. And I want to paraphrase a verse of scripture and say to you that this is her personal testimony.
I trust you will allow me to do it. Hebrews 11:4 is the verse. By faith, Sheila Kemmer offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than the daughters of this world, by which she obtained witness that she was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it she, being dead, yet speaketh. What does she say to us when she speaks? She, being dead, yet speaketh. What does she say to us when she speaks? She says this: to know Christ is to love him. To love him is to trust him. To trust him is to enjoy him forever. May the testimony of this gracious saint continue to speak to our fellowship here, to her family, and to her friends that she has left behind. Amen.